Now, have you ever felt badly about your body? Chances are the answer is a resounding yes. All of us, and especially women, get messages from childhood on about what size and shape our bodies should be. And when we don't fit that, we face criticism from others and also from ourselves. And with warmer weather clothing and activities, it can be even more intense. Jess Baker is hoping to change that. Jess blogs at themilitantbaker.com, and her most recent book is Land Whale, on turning insults into nicknames, why body image is hard, and how diets can kiss my ass. Jess, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you for having me. Honored to be here.
So what's your first memory of being made to feel badly about your body, Jess?
I think a lot of it was subconscious, but my very first conscious memory is so clear, and it was in fifth grade. And Danielle called me hippo in class, in Miss Olson's class. And I knew, you know, ever since I knew that fat was a bad thing, I knew that personally, I think hippos are awesome as an adult. But they're pretty strong and incredible creatures. But at the time, I did know it was an insult. And I think that was the beginning of it, being called to my face, fifth grade.
And you had an experience that I could really relate to. You were looking through photos from when you were a child, and this was years later, and you had a pretty shocking realization. Can you share that with us?
Absolutely. When I pitched the book, there was a chapter called I Was a Fat Kid. And I spent my entire life, I've been doing body image work for 6 years now, dissecting body image. Like, I felt like I kind of knew it all when it came to myself anyways. Went back for this chapter for some inspiration, looked through my old pictures, and I realized that, you know, I kept flipping, looking for this fat child that I remember being, and I was not a fat child at all. In fact, I was quite a thin child until puberty. And that was just mind-blowing to me, because this is not the first time I had looked at those pictures either. Mm-hmm. And I had somehow superimposed this other body onto myself because I grew up feeling fat, being told that I was too fat, even though I really wasn't. I was really internalizing other people's messages. So it was incredible to go back and realize that, you know, this entire history that I have feeling like a fat child growing up as a fat child was, in fact, you know, a lie. It was a mental state of being.
I went to a Catholic grade school and high school, actually, but in grade school, the uniforms, there were box pleat skirts for girls who were considered of a normal size and weight. And then there was an all around pleated skirt for those that were considered too heavy to wear the box pleats. And I remember being in probably sixth or seventh grade, and two of us were assigned to the all pleated skirts, and knowing exactly what that meant, that we were considered too large to wear the box pleats. And I remember thinking somewhat before that, but definitely after that, I'm fat. I'm a fat kid. I'm a fat girl. And then years later, I looked back at photos of myself from freshman year in high school. I wasn't fat at all. And it was that's the realization that I had that so resonated with me when I read about yours.
Wow. Yeah. Body dysmorphia is so real. And I think that, you know, I look at myself 10 years ago, you know, I'm 31 now. I was 21 then. And I was, you know, at the point where I was suicidal because I hated my body so much. And I look back at those pictures now and I'm just like, man, you know, I am and was so beautiful, and I just wasn't able to see it. So we have this lens that we're given. We weren't born hating ourselves like this. We were given that lens. We were taught that that skirt was the wrong skirt to have. And we then see the world very, very differently. And that's really what I'm hoping to change for some people, is to kind of take off that lens and see what we're really looking at, because life is to be lived now. And I think a lot of people can identify with both of our experiences.
Mm-hmm. You talk a lot, Jess, about how women's bodies are heavily policed in our society. Can you give us some concrete examples of where you see that happening?
Yes. Yeah, it's everywhere. I think bodies are policed in general. I think that in our current society, anything other than a thin, white, able-bodied, straight-presenting, cisgender person is going to be very politicized and, you know, different, and we're going to take that difference and we're going to talk about it and talk about how it's not okay. But I think that, you know, historically, women's bodies have been targets of marketing ever since there's a long history behind why we hate our body here in the U.S. And it has a lot to do with our economy and making money at post-World War II. But we really do like to regulate women's bodies, their choices, their sizes, what they wear. I think rape culture is a place that you see that. We place the blame on the woman for what she was wearing instead of the actions of the other person. And it's so common to comment on other people's bodies as well. And we really do believe that women owe society their desirability. And so you see a lot of pushback when some women say, I don't owe you thinness or beauty or prettiness or any of that. We see a lot of pushback. And so in those ways, we're always policed. You know, we walk down the street, people are able to comment on our body. As you know, in the communities of women, other women comment on other women's bodies. It's just everyone has something to say because we've made a culture where that's acceptable and normalized. And sometimes we even feel like it's our duty, like it's our service to critique and criticize the physical appearance of other people.
We're talking with Jess Baker. She's an activist and author. Her most recent book is Land Whale, and she's looking at how people can learn to love their bodies no matter what size or shape they come in. And, you know, you really are pushing back against that policing of women's bodies, that there should be an expectation that others impose on us or that we impose on ourselves about what size and shape our bodies should be. And you have tattoos on your thighs to remind you of that, because even though you're steeped in this, you still need that reinforcement. Can you tell us about those tattoos?
Yeah, they're my favorite ones. They're right over my knees, and one knee says my life and the other one says my rules. And I think that it is important to remember to mention, I'm glad you mentioned it, that I do need reminders. And even though this is something that, you know, I know all bodies are worthy, and I know why we've learned to hate our bodies, and I know all of the reasons behind the struggles that we have, I still have, you know, difficult days because this is the world we live in. And so a lot of people, you know, kind of want to have 100% impeccable body days. You know, I'm going to learn to love myself and everything's going to be perfect from here on out. And that's just not realistic because we've learned this for so long. So yes, I do have tattoos, and they are perfect reminders for those hard days that everyone has.
One of the things that I found really touching, because you're so vulnerable about it in Land Whale, is that you have been with your partner for several years. You clearly have a very strong relationship that you really work on. And one of the things that you both have committed to is absolute honesty all the time under all circumstances. And yet you have a really hard time believing when he says that you're sexy and you're beautiful and you're desirable and he wouldn't want to be with anyone else.
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes. Some days I'm like, you know it. You know, like, I know you're lucky. and it's wonderful and beautiful. And sometimes the old teachings do sneak into my head. And when there is a comment that he makes about how beautiful I look, we've developed this incredible way to twist the beautiful things in life and make them negative. And so he says, oh, you know, you look really great in that dress for this reason. I'm like, well, why wasn't it the other reason? And I've kind of perfected the art of hating myself. And I can take even a positive comment and make it very negative. And so we're working through that, but it's true. That does come up. And one thing that's really helped is, one, me doing my own personal work to unlearn these lies that I've been taught by society. And also just knowing that I can trust him. We've said the hard things that were, you know, felt impossible to say. We always have. And so when he does give me a compliment, when he does say these wonderful, lovely things, I know logically, even if I can't internalize it, I know logically that he is being completely honest. And I feel like that's a blessing. I'm very grateful to have that.
Has he expressed frustration that sometimes it can be so hard for you to believe what he so clearly is meaning in a very genuine way?
That's a great question. We have talked about it. I worry about that more than he does. You know, I always worry that, you know, oh, this is going to be too hard for him to constantly have to be positive. But it's not a struggle for him because he finds it so easy to love me. And he explained this to me when we were dating about this, you know, certain monsters of art, you know, they're different for each person. And my monsters is they're not his monsters. Mm. His monsters are not my monsters. So it's easier for him to help me fight mine than it is for me to fight them alone. And then I, in turn, help him fight his monsters because they're different for me and it's not as difficult. So we kind of trade off on the battlefront there, and he is able to help me, and I'm grateful for that support to have that every day.
We're talking with author and activist Jess Baker about her most recent book, Land Whale, and we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. Do you struggle to love your body? Where do you think you got the message that you're not fine the way you are? Have you made progress in not only accepting your body, but maybe even celebrating it? Or maybe you're from a culture that has different ideas about beauty. Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can also post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll continue this conversation in just a bit. Stay with us here on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Judith Sears Poisson. We're continuing our conversation with author and activist Jess Baker about resisting fat shaming from ourselves and others and how we can come to love our bodies unconditionally. And you can join in at 800-642-1234. How comfortable do you feel in your body? Are you hard on yourself because of its size or its shape? Or maybe you found a way to accept yourself and love how you look. Share your thoughts at 800-642-1234. 1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. And Jess, you know, many people will say that we're in the midst of an obesity crisis and that fat shaming is actually based on a concern for health, but you're not buying that.
No, and there's a lot of research and logic and science that backs that up as well. I think that this is what everyone always wants to get to. And if we dance around it, it'll eventually come down to health. And people are very concerned about people loving themselves no matter what, because they feel like this promotes obesity. Obesity is just pathologizing fatness. And some bodies are just fat. Some bodies are fat for a ton of different reasons. And they could, I mean, there's just so many different reasons why fat could be a symptom of something else. Or maybe there isn't a problem. The interesting thing I think about health is that what we don't talk about is how there are multiple components to health, and it's multifaceted. It looks different for each person. And so when we paint health with one big brushstroke, we often leave out a lot of ways that we can help people and live a healthy, holistic life. We kind of skip over them and end up harming them in the end. Fat shaming, which is interesting that you just named that as a way of like creating change. Fat shaming has been proven to cause weight gain. So that's obviously not something mm-hmm. that's going to be helpful if you really are concerned about people gaining weight. Personally, I have read and spoken to enough professionals to know that underneath all of us, there are so many different levels of things that need to be resolved and taken care of. The problem happens that we run into is when fat people go to the doctor, oftentimes the fatness is treated instead of whatever might be causing fatness. And so a lot of things go undiagnosed. Sometimes there's a lot of body shaming, so fat people don't ever go back to the doctor, which of course, you know, we want to make sure that we're taking care of our bodies. But I think ultimately what it boils down to is that it's really difficult to take care of a body, to take care of something that you absolutely hate. Mm. And so I don't think that a lot of progress comes from hating ourselves into this form of health that people require of us or we are told that we need. It looks different for everyone. I believe that holistic wellness, looking at ourselves, body, brain, spirituality, all of those things all together, ultimately, and coming from a place of love and acceptance is a much better way to approach well-being than a lot of the, you know, throwing BMI numbers at people or other ways that we really do shame fat bodies.
We're talking about loving our bodies and rejecting fat shaming and body shaming with Jess Baker. She's an activist and author. You can join in by calling 800-642-1234. And Jess, you had kind of an interesting, I would say, fairly different experience growing up than a lot of people. You actually got a lot of the messages about your body and it not being acceptable in the size and shape that it was from your father. And I think, as you mentioned earlier, women can be really hard on each other and on themselves. And so I was kind of surprised when you said that a lot of it came from your father. Can you tell us a little bit about how that happened?
Yeah, I think it is less common for it to come from a father figure. Often is passed down from mother to daughter. My dad really struggled with his own body image issues. And ultimately, I mean, I worked in mental health for quite a few years, so I love to break things like this down. But ultimately, I believe that, and in talking to him, that, you know, there was a lot of struggle to control aspects of his life. He felt very out of control. And I think this is common for children too. When we feel out of control, sometimes the only thing we feel like we can control or we're told that we can control is our body. And so he really put a lot of focus on his body. He was constantly dieting. Diets are essentially yo-yo diets. You know, the vast majority of them don't work. So he would try one, he would lose a lot of weight. And then he would gain it all back and more, and then he would do another one. And it was this constant roller coaster of dieting in my life. And I absorbed all of that from him, not only just the idea that we constantly need to be restricting and over-exercising in order to be okay, but also, you know, this is how diet works. This is how you live your life. And if you're not doing these things, you're not okay. I think I also picked up a lot of his just internalized hatred of anybody that didn't look like what we saw on television. I think you can pick that up from a lot of different places, but that was one I did get directly from my father. Mm-hmm. And so it's interesting for me to go through my journey. I'm watching him on his journey as he's aging. And yeah, it's really quite fascinating. My mom is on her own journey as well. We're all kind of just figuring things out, and we all will be for a very long time. I think, you know, this isn't an end destination. I think we're all trying to figure out what's best for us individually.
Jess, one of the things that I really enjoyed in reading your book and looking at your blog and looking at photos of you is that you have an amazing sense of style. You wear really great makeup and clothing, and you're really a presence. And I think that a lot of people who are living in larger bodies go the opposite way. They try to shrink and take up as little space as possible. And you're a real presence, and you talk about other fat women who have inspired you in that way.
Yeah, we are taught to take up as little space as possible, physically, emotionally, energetically, just really, you know, cross your legs, make yourself as small as possible, diet, don't talk, be polite, all of those different restrictions. I am not naturally that person, never have been. Even as a kid, I'm a Leo, so that says a lot. And also, I think it is very important for people to learn that they are valuable enough to take up the space they need to exist and live their best life. Whatever that is for a person, it's going to look different for everyone. But just not to have those restrictions is really important. I am a loud person. I'm fat. I'm tattooed. I'm a Leo who likes to be on the stage. So I do take up a lot of space. But people don't need to necessarily be always in horizontal stripes and bright colors. I think it comes down to deciding what you really love and then doing that. Mm-hmm. And I think the sad part is when we don't know that we have a choice and we think that we must hide, we must make ourselves as small as possible, we must disappear. That's what makes me sad. But if, you know, living a quiet life in beige is your jam, then I'm all for it, as long as that's what you really want to do.
And, you know, Jess, I have to say, I felt kind of naive reading your book because I was shocked that you have experienced so often throughout your life people on the street calling you derogatory names, you know, referring to your size in very unkind ways. And I guess I didn't want to think that that was as common as it was. But what would you like people to consider before they open their mouths and say those kinds of things to a stranger or certainly to a loved one?
Oh my God. Well, there's two things. One, you can think about the other person. I'm not, you know, I know why people say these things, but I don't know if people understand why it comes out of their mouth. Just don't do it to another person. Just don't humiliate another human. Just don't do that. What it ends up looking like is those comments are really just a reflection of how a person is feeling inside. So if somebody is going to go on the internet or in person, take the time to call me a name that is supposed to harm me, I know that that's coming from a place where a person is feeling so not okay that they need to harm someone else in order to feel better. And so please don't do that to people. And also know that there are those of us who have experienced this for so long that realize it's just a reflection of you. So either you're going to really hurt someone, which should not be anyone's goal for a day, or we're just going to acknowledge, you know, this person has some stuff going on that they need to figure out. And so that's neither of those outcomes are really great. Mm-hmm. So I would maybe focus on, if you feel like saying it, say it in your head and then ask yourself why you are so upset about another person in their body. And you might have some very interesting revelations if you ask yourself that question.
Well, Jess, thanks so much for spending the time with us today. It was a great conversation.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Jess Baker is an activist and author. Her most recent book is Land Whale, on turning insults into nicknames, why body image is hard, and how diets can kiss my ass. She also blogs at themilitantbaker.com, and she joined us to talk about resisting fat shaming from ourselves and others and how we can come to love our bodies.